He's 1-3 against Alabama, and this game coming up will be huge.
That's right. You know, I mean, it's easy. It's a little bit easier for Auburn fans, Auburn administration, anything associated with Auburn to be 2-3 as opposed to being 1-4. I mean, that that has so much of a different sound to it. You know, hey, we're 2-3, you know, with that, which, you know, people look at that as, hey, you know, for 5 years, you know, we've been competitive. We've won 2, lost 3. But if you sit there and you're 1-4, you know, you have to say you're 1-4.
Right.
Boy, it just doesn't look like you're very competitive at all.
And most teams, I hate to say this, when you be an Alabama fan, most teams in the SEC would be happy with 2-3 against Alabama over the last 5 years.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. We'll see. It's really changed since the Georgia game. Auburn defeats Georgia, and now the line, you know, 2 weeks ago you could have got Auburn plus 10.5 points and felt shaky about it. And now the line down to as low as 2.5. And some saying even before the game starts, it may end up as a pick 'em game. So,
and do you think, Jason? Do you think this week's games? I mean, that these are going to should be sleepers for both clubs. This week's? I guess we can. We'll ask Chris when we have him on if this week's games will play any part, have any bearing on, you know, what the line's going to be set at. I don't know. I would say probably not.
I doubt it.
You know, it's simply going to be based upon, I guess, for me, would be last week's performance. You know, Auburn goes in and just Georgia comes to Auburn, and Auburn just absolutely annihilates them. I mean, was it 40-10?
40-17 was the 40 final.
40-10 when I left.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's no contest. And then Alabama struggled mightily with Mississippi State, who gave them all they wanted and then some.
It looked real dark for Alabama, you know, there about the time they missed the field goal.
And that's the first time this entire season that they've been truly tested. So, you know, from an Alabama standpoint, fan, that makes you feel good that they could go into a hostile environment against a club who plays really well and was able to, you know, overcome some mistakes, overcome injuries, and still able to get out of there with a 31-24 win, whereas they haven't even been challenged all
year
long.
Over 18 that Auburn beat 49-10.
That's true.
Football a funny thing because Auburn
this
loses
year
to LSU.
This year especially.
Yeah, and then Alabama beats LSU. I mean, it wasn't that wide margin, but
it was never doubt.
And then Alabama goes to the end with Mississippi State, a team Auburn beats 49-10.
Right.
It's just, I guess, different Saturdays, different games.
You know, and Jason, we talk about this all the time, or we talk about the entire season. You know, they play 12 regular season games, and I think you mentioned it and I have too. There is no way on the face of the earth you're going to get your team every week to play to their maximum potential. It's not going to happen.
Right.
I think if you get them to play to their maximum potential regular season-wise, you know, 3, maybe 4 times at the max, I think you're doing good. And that's what Auburn, I think, did last week. They played at their maximum. You might disagree with that. They played about as well as they could play in that game. And maybe they've had, you know, a couple more where they've done that. Maybe they haven't. And the same thing for Alabama. You know, they've only probably had a couple of games where they've played at their maximum ability or maximum potential. But the key is when you're not playing your very best, you're still playing good enough to win.
Right.
And
I think one thing with Alabama, I think they thought they were going to go into Mississippi State and, you know, play 60 minutes of football and go to the house and get another
dozen. That's right, and cover the spread.
Yeah.
You know,
somebody just forgot to tell Mississippi State.
That's right, and give State, give State a tremendous amount of credit. You hate to use the word manhandled because that's a little bit extreme, but they certainly dominated up front. Their offensive line just pushed our Alabama defensive line. You know, really anywhere they wanted to. They weren't doing anything fancy. They just running little inside traps and, you know, it was 4, 6, 8 yards at a whack. And, Alabama's linebackers were nowhere to be found. Of course, you know, four of them are standing over there on the sidelines unable to play. Yeah. And I don't care. I'm not making excuses for them, but I don't care who you are. If you got four of your linebackers who are out season-ending injuries, you're not going to be as good. I'm sorry. That fifth-string guy coming
in. I'll give you that, but that surprised me. And the amount of pressure that Mississippi State was able to put on Hurts surprised me. I didn't think they would.
Yeah.
They were back there a lot of times, about as soon as the ball was back there.
You're right. Don't disagree with that. But, you know, we'll see. You know, Alabama didn't play as well as they're capable of playing. Auburn played really well, you know, at the Iron Bowl. Who knows?
I know I wish I could get that 10.5 points that they were giving
away.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's not going to happen.
Catch us up on the local level before we start our busy day.
Well, Jason, you know, we've got some local basketball, you know, has started not for last. We had the Battle of the Cumming County Eagles, I guess we would say. The Vimont Eagles were playing host to the Cold Springs Eagles. Cold Springs got out of there, out of the Pinnacle with a couple of wins there. They won the varsity boys game, I think, by, was it 43-36, and then the Cold Springs Lady Eagles beat the Vimont Eagles, the Lady Eagles, 64-24. So pretty convincing win there for the Cold Springs Lady Eagles. You know, we've had Fairview and Hansville have played already. Fairview boys beat Hansville boys, and Fairview girls also defeated the Hansville Lady Bulldogs. Cumming has played. They defeated Decatur right at close to the end of the game. I think they won by one. And then their varsity girls have also won. I think I saw where they maybe it was Gunnersville. I don't remember. I'll look it up. Had a big win there. And for those who may not know or may not remember, the varsity girls at Cumming are coached by Josh Hembry. Josh was a outstanding basketball player at Vimont High School. And then, of course, with the boys, Bobby Meyer is the boys coach at Cumming, and he was the boys coach at Vimont for a very long time. So two kind of Vimont boys coaching at Cumming. So we wish them, you know, the very best. And, Jason, also while we're talking about basketball, you know, you just cannot fail to mention that, that when you have, Thanksgiving season right around the corner, that also lets you know that you're going to have two tournaments in this county. One of them is the Holly Pond, varsity boys, and JV boys tournament. I think this is it's the 61st year of that tournament. And then also Hansville, they will also be hosting, their own Thanksgiving tournament. That's for varsity boys only down at Hansville. I think the dates of that's the 21st, 22nd, and the 24th. And, so if you want to see some basketball during the Thanksgiving holidays, you can go to Holly Pond.
61 years, a long 60, time.
Longest running tournament in the state of Alabama. 61 years at Holly Pond. So if you want to see some basketball, you can go to Hansville and watch some varsity boys action there, or you can go out to Holly Pond and you can see varsity boys and junior varsity boys playing out there. So
I noticed you're not mentioning any football games in the county coming up.
No, we don't have any more teams, you know, playing. We had three local teams that were in the playoffs. Cumming was in the playoffs. West Point was in the playoffs. And Holly Pond was in the football playoffs, and all three of them got beat. So we do not have anybody else, you know, in the second round, third round of the playoffs. So it's round ball now. I mean, that's all that's left.
Hey, and that's time of year for round ball.
Unless you're bowling, and I know there's some schools that have bowling teams. West Point has a bowling team, St. Bernard, Cumming. So if you want to, I'm sure you could go catch some bowling action. Oh, man. But
I'm sorry if your child is on the bowling team. All support to them.
That's right. Scholarship money, baby. Scholarship money. But, again, football season's over. The round ball season has started. Again, we're right here at Thanksgiving. Plenty of basketball that you can see next week. You know, you might want to go to Holly Pond today and go to Hansville today. You know, whatever. But there's plenty of basketball, you know, to be seen. So, wow. Speaking of basketball, Jason, I think I texted you the other night. And I know we've got to have Chris on in just a minute, but you probably didn't. But did you see any of Alabama's home opener the other night?
No, Ronnie, there was some paint in the basement that was drying, and so I started watching it, and I got so interested in it, I couldn't break away from it.
Well, you need to give, you know, you need to give the Alabama basketball team, you know, at least give them one look.
When they get a few W's under yeah. their belt, I might take a look at them. But boy, judging from the past,
I'm telling you, there is no comparison, zero comparison. Completely different caliber of athlete on the floor. They scored 85 points the other night. You know, they've got two or three five-star recruits out, freshmen playing. One of the announcers even said that Alabama probably will have the best backcourt in the entire SEC. And that's from true freshmen. So, you know, Colin Sexton from Georgia and John Petty from the Huntsville area are the two five-stars, and let me tell you, they can go. So I know you're not an Alabama fan, but you're a basketball fan.
Right.
So they
– And I don't despise Alabama basketball.
I know you don't. I like to watch good basketball. I don't care who's playing it. But I will assure you, it looks much different
than
it is.
That's something that we've not been able to say in this state, watch good basketball.
No. From any, you know, from either Alabama or, you know, and Auburn or
on the Plains, things getting interesting down there too is Bruce Pearl continues to dodge questions about what is going on with the money exchange.
Is he going to be able to hang on to his job?
I don't think so. I think he's done.
You think he'll be done?
He's hiding something more than Easter eggs, or he will be cooperating.
Do you think he's done before the season ends?
I mean, very possible.
Yeah.
Because if you're not cooperating with an internal investigation, what's going to happen when the NCAA rolls in and start investigating?
And there has to be some.
Oh, yeah.
You don't cooperate with an internal investigation unless you really have something.
He could pull the Roy Moore answer and just say, I don't remember.
I wonder if that's going to be good enough.
I don't know. Roy Moore now 12 points behind, I think.
Oh, well, I hadn't seen it.
That's what I was told this morning.
Oh, okay. So. What a mess.
I don't know. So, we'll just save that for another day.
That's another day. That's right. Hey, it's 4:14. I think we got our buddy Chris Andrews.
Coming up after the break
from Las Vegas, Nevada. So
Dan the Man at 5:05.
Yeah, Dan the Man Voss at 5:05 from used to be Campus Insider. It's not anymore, but it used to be Campus Insider.
Stadium Watch.
And then at 5:30 we got our buddy Rex Chambers, our local fishing expert. Was going to be back with us again this week and see if he can help us put another fish in the boat before it gets real cold.
All right. Stay with us. You're going to want to hear Chris here at 4:15, 4:16, somewhere in that area. Chris will know the line of the Alabama-Auburn game,
what you can
get it for, and we'll see what Vegas thinks about that game. So, Melissa, are you ready to take us away? Is Melissa in the house? Well, I guess we'll just keep talking.
Well, her car's out there anyway. Okay. So, but, you know, as soon as we find her, we'll get her to take us
to a
break.
We'll take her to a break, and then we'll get there we go.
There we go. As we said so.
All right. Stay with us. Sports Talk Live 95.5. We'll be right back with Chris Andrews from Vegas.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors-only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today. Or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Hey, guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121. 419,
and as promised, Mr. Chris Andrews joins us from Las Vegas, Nevada, the town that never sleeps.
Sin City, baby.
I'm telling you. Hey, Chris. Welcome back.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Chris. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, but thinking about you guys, Alabama's been in the news the last couple of days.
Just a little bit.
Little minor things.
Yeah, we don't want to get into any politics, but I just been fun thinking about you guys.
So. Oh man, hey, we make the news any way we can here in Alabama. Hey Chris, I gotta ask you, Auburn fans such as myself been pretty much on cloud nine since watching Auburn dismantle the number one team in the nation last week. Were you as surprised as everyone around our part and the way this game went down? Just give us your thoughts on that game.
Well, you know, Jason, we talked. I know we weren't on the air last week, but I had texted you that I liked Auburn, and I did like Auburn. But I never dreamt I would see really the dismantling of Georgia at the line of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively. I didn't know Auburn had it in them, but they dominated the line of scrimmage. And listen, we could say whatever we want. Of course, quarterback is still super essential and all that, but you know, when you can block better than the other guys and you can tackle better than the other guys, you're going to win a lot of football games, and that's exactly what Auburn did to Georgia.
Right, and hey, I got to throw this in, Chris. It couldn't have worked out any better my partner in crime, Ronnie, and his wife were at my house to watch that game, and then they, for some reason, left before the game was over, though.
That's nice when the scorer chases them out of your house, isn't it, Jason?
Yeah. But in all fairness, they did tell me they had to leave early, so I'll let him slide with that.
Hey, I got a free steak out of it, Chris, so, you know,
I don't
complain too much. Jason, he was good to us to invite us over and then fed us really well when we got there.
I believe that. You know that? I really have no doubt.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, what kind of effect do you think last Saturday's game has had on this Alabama line? Can you share a little bit of that with us? Tell us kind of what the line's sitting at, and if you don't mind, talk about the odds after Saturday on Auburn winning the national title. How has that changed?
Well, first of all, as far as like the game itself against Bama, it was kind of floating around like Bama an 8-point favorite. And, you know, there wasn't much activity. I think most people thought that was a pretty good line. And then when the game kicked off, actually we closed those future lines. And it went back up, but like Bama, I think Bama was like a 6-point favorite, so it moved like 2 points. But that was just the beginning. It was just a flood of Auburn money after that. And I haven't checked in the last day or two, but I heard it went all the way down at 3. So, you know, a lot of respect for Auburn. And like I said, you know, scores can get, you know, football, you know, crazy things can happen and scores get out of hand. But like I said, you know, you watch the game, and Auburn just dominated both sides of the line of scrimmage. And that's, you know, not something that is easy to do to really any major team in the SEC. But Georgia was sitting at number one. And for Auburn to do that, I think a lot of people gained a lot of respect for this Auburn team this year. And I think it's well-deserved.
Good deal.
And then the future book. Well, that's a pretty drastic move right there. Now, you know, I still think it's going to be hard for Auburn. You know, they got to beat Bama, and they got to beat Georgia again.
Yeah.
Then, of course, got to win a semifinal game if they indeed get invited, which I think they would, and then go win a final game. So they still got a long way to go. So before the game, I had them 50-1 to win the national championship. Well, I got to tell you, we got a lot of money on Auburn. After the game, I made it 25-1, so I cut it in half, and they still just pounded me on Auburn. So I'm down to 6-1 right now with Auburn. We lose pretty good on them. So there's a lot of money on Auburn, and, you know, I know we got a ways to go, but, yeah, a lot of money showed after that game. A lot of people were impressed, including me.
Yeah, I would like to back up a few weeks and put a little money on Auburn. I'm afraid to now. I think I'm just going to let it ride out the way it is and see what happens.
Yeah, like I said, the odds right now 6-1, and you know, maybe you can find somewhere at 8-1 or 10-1, but that's really no bargain.
Right.
They still got to win some really big games, and you know, they got a long way to go. But man, they sure as heck look good.
Chris, I agree with you. I agree with Jason. By far the best Auburn has looked the entire year. I think Gus got the most out of his club, you know, this past week. I think, as you alluded to, that was the first of several obstacles he's got to get over if he wants to get, you know, into the playoff. You know, he's got to beat Bama, and he's got to turn around and beat Georgia again. And I would just say, if he's able to do that, you know, hey, I would have to say I'd be on the, I would have to climb on the Gus bus too, because I can't think of any team in recent history who would have possibly done, if they make it, would have had to have gone through, you know, the number one and number two team, you know, within, you know, a couple of weeks.
Well, let's not forget early in the year too, they lost to Clemson, and I think when you first looked at that game and whatever that was, like week one or week two, they weren't very impressive. But again, you look at that defense, and the defense only gave up 14 points to the defending national champs. I know they had a new quarterback and all that other stuff, but still, that was a pretty good performance. And I think Kevin Steele, guy been around a long time, has really done a heck of a job with that defense.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
Hey, Chris, let's move over into the Alabama-Mississippi State game. I guess, you know, there's two or three questions I have there, and one – First of all, you know, what were your thoughts of the Alabama, the Mississippi State game? Do you think, you know, Alabama's injuries played a big part in it, or it was Mississippi State, you know, did they play maybe at their peak performance? And, you know, where do you see Bama going from here?
Well, I think the injuries played a huge part in that game. You know, we just keep thinking of Alabama just reloading no matter how many injuries they've had. And, you know, they got all these five-star recruits. And, you know, at some point, though, you're going to run out of bodies. Now, when you have those five-star recruits and they're playing, you know, defensive back or wide receiver, even running back, you know, I think those kids can make a pretty easy transition from high school into Division One. But now you're talking about, you know, linebacker. I mean, man, you better be a big, strong man, really, if you want to play SEC championship level linebacker. And, you know, they're just, you know, it's been just an accumulation of some injuries, and it seems like it's really affected that one position. So I think the injuries really have taken their toll on this Alabama team. And of all the championship teams that Nick's had, and, you know, there's been some great ones, and they've had some ups and downs. And I think right now this is about the worst that they've played, and it's hard to say that, you know, because they are still undefeated. It'd be a pretty good Mississippi State team, too, by the way. You know, but I don't think this is one of Nick's better teams right now.
Yeah. And, you know, and you talk about Mississippi State, and it seems like it's been this entire season that one week you look like you look like a pathetic football team, like Jason and I talked about. Auburn just drilled Mississippi State. And then Mississippi State comes back, and, you know, they play Alabama tooth and nail the whole way.
Yeah.
And basically, from my standpoint, they dominated the line of scrimmage. And if you're able to do that, you're going to have a chance to win a football game. But Mississippi State, you know, they've lost three games. They've lost to Alabama, they've lost to Auburn, and they've lost to Georgia. And they beat everybody else. So
you know, that's a pretty good lineup of teams to lose to, you know.
Exactly. You know, they're 7-3, and those are their three losses. So, you know, a pretty solid football team. So, but I'm with you, Chris. You know, when you lose four linebackers, I'm sorry, that number five guy that's got to come into play, he's not going to be as good as those others. I don't care, you know, what class he is.
Hey, time out, Chris. Now, you're going to bear witness to this. Ronnie has stated, and we'll go back and pull the tapes and audio on this, that Alabama's second and third string could beat the other teams in the SEC.
I said their second team.
Okay, second team.
Alabama's second team. If everybody's healthy, they're better than anybody else in the conference.
Did you hear that, Chris?
And now, I did.
And now we can't,
I did.
We can't use the injuries for an excuse.
No, listen, they all got them at this point, but what's really hurt Bama is it's all at one, not all, but, you know, they've had a cluster at one position, you know, and that's what's hurt them, I think, you know, and, I think it's gonna hurt them the rest of the way, too.
Yeah, you know, there's a little bit of talk, they may get, you know, one of those kids back that was hurt, you know, against Florida State, but, you know, that's still iffy, and if playing the way they played defensively against Mississippi State is going to be the norm for the rest of the season, it's not going to work out for them like they want to. I just choose to believe they'll play much better against Auburn than they did this past week. They may not, but
no,
you know, that's the hope.
They'll have it worked out, 2 weeks to work on it. So.
You know, so. But anyway, hey, Chris, let's move into, you know, the polls were out on Tuesday night, and you know, Alabama is number one, followed by Clemson at two, Miami's three, and Oklahoma's four. Do you agree with these rankings? And, you know, what's your feelings about an undefeated Wisconsin team that's, you know, still on the outside looking in?
Well, you know, I hate to be boring, but right now I have to agree with the committee and what they came up with. Now, all that being said, we still have all these championship games to go. And I think a lot of that will work itself out, you know, but I think right now Wisconsin is not one of the four best teams in the country. They asked me the other day on VSiN, and I think I had like seven teams favored over Wisconsin. Now, I do think if they win out, including beating, you know, whether it's Ohio State or Penn State, in the in the Big Ten championship game, then I think they got to be included in the 14 playoff. You know, but there's still a while to go there. And you know, you got Clemson and Miami. I mean, one of those teams is going to lose. So I mean, that's going to open up the door for somebody. I personally think Clemson probably about 3 points better than Miami. So I think they win that, but 3 points favorites lose every week, you know, so right. I wouldn't go crazy over it. But, you know, I think that'll open a door and, you know, we'll see what else happens because I think we're going to see a lot of changes between now and then. Really, it's kind of evenly balanced. You know, we talked about Alabama and Auburn. I mean, that game's going to be, like I said, a 3-point spread, maybe 4, something like that. You know, and, 4-point favorites lose all the time. You know, we're going to see the same thing with, Clemson and Miami. And then I think, you know, whoever Oklahoma plays in their championship game, probably TCU. But, you know, that could go either way too. So I think there's a long way to go. But I really think the committee at this point in time has it right. And, we'll just have to see how things work itself out.
Yeah, you mentioned Wisconsin. I mean, my gosh, their schedule. It's embarrassing. I mean, I know you play them. You know, you just got to play them week after week. But they shouldn't be too upset at all that they're sitting at the 5 spot right now.
They shouldn't at all. You know, and listen, they've known for a while. You could look at your schedule in advance, and you know that side of the Big Ten has been, you know, much less than the other side, and you know you just avoid Penn State, Ohio State, and I guess they didn't avoid Michigan. Got to play them this week. You know, it's a big game for Wisconsin this week, so you know they really got to win this one. I think the pressure's really on them, and I think that's going to be a tough game because I think there's a lot of pressure on Jim Harbaugh too. All of a sudden,
right?
So I think these guys, I think that's going to be a dogfight.
Yeah, Chris, do you think Jason and I had talked, you know, a week or so ago, and this is when, of course, Georgia had won, Bama was 2. That there was the possibility, you know, that 2 SEC schools could get into the playoff, which that's, you know, not going to happen now. But do you see a scenario where all that's left would be Clemson and Miami? Do you think there's any way the 2 of them could make the 14 playoff?
Boy, you know, there's so many variables.
Right.
I'd have to say no.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows? There's so many things that could go on out there, but I don't think that would happen.
Hey,
I really
Chris,
don't.
What about this? What if Auburn beats Alabama, then wins the SEC championship, and Alabama is sitting there with one loss? What are the odds that they could be included as well as Auburn?
Now that I think is a very possible scenario. Now if Auburn blows them out, obviously that's probably not going to happen. You know, but if it's, you know, 27-24 and Auburn wins late, then I think Bama still has a pretty legitimate shot of getting in. I mean, you look at Ohio State last year. They didn't win their division.
Yeah.
And they still got in. They got embarrassed. I don't think that's
right.
Going to help a lot of teams in the future. But I think Alabama's a whole different story. You know, and in all honesty, you know, Jason, you probably hate hearing this, but if there is a team out there that deserves the benefit of the doubt, it probably is Alabama after all these years. And I think there's a good chance that could happen if Auburn wins a really tight game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't think there's a chance of it being – well, there's always a chance, I guess. But I'm 52 years old, Chris, and I've never seen Auburn blow Alabama out. And I've seen Alabama blow Auburn out, but never seen it in reverse.
I sure don't remember. I'm 61, and I don't remember one of those either, yeah. So I'm with you.
If Auburn wins, it seems to always come down to the fourth quarter, and you're sitting there biting everything you can get your hands on. So.
And Chris, I agree with what Jason mentioned and everything you said there, that if Auburn were to beat Alabama and it be close, you know, depending on what happens, you know, behind them with, say, we know a Clemson or Miami is going to get beat, and then if a Wisconsin, you know, was to lose a game, I think there's a possibility of them getting in, just like you said, because it is Alabama, because of what they've done the last several years, plus all the known injuries.
Hey, if that happens, they'll have to bring the National Guard into Alabama.
They will.
Hey, Hey, Chris,
you're already going to need it for the election over there. You might as well just keep her out.
Hey, let's jump over to the coaching circle, the carousel. The SEC looks to have a pretty certain 5, maybe 6, even 7 openings at the end of this season, something we've never seen before. Do you think there's any chance or any scenario in which at the end of this year, after all is said and done, Auburn wants to keep Malzahn, but he's tired of constantly hearing he's on the hot seat, and he sings that old song, you know, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. And heads to Arkansas.
I know he's got the Arkansas roots, so I guess that's possible. But, you know, Jason, we've talked about it before. I mean, this is the big leagues when you're in the SEC. I mean, there is lots of pressure. You get lots of money. I mean, you look like Jim McElwain had Florida in the championship the last 2 years, didn't make it through his third year. You know, and now Butch Jones, Butch Jones, it was not the right guy. Great recruiter, but not the right guy to coach. You know, so I think there's just so much pressure on these guys. But, you know, if he goes to Arkansas, you're jumping out of the frying pan and into the fire, I think. You know, it's going to be just as much pressure over there. And like I said, maybe he appreciates that more because, I know he coached at, I think he coached at Arkansas and Arkansas State.
That's correct.
You know, so maybe that's going to mean a little something to him. And in all honesty, probably Auburn hasn't treated him all that well. But, I don't know, man. That's a tough way to go. No matter where you go in that AC, in the SEC, you know, you are facing a lot of pressure. And, I remember Butch Jones is going to get $200,000 a month for the next 40 months. That's a pretty good paycheck for sitting on your couch.
Yeah, I'd be glad for him to fire me.
Yeah, I wish I can get my owner here to go for a deal like that.
Yeah, hey, Chris.
But, there is a lot of pressure no matter where you go.
You know, and talking about Tennessee, maybe I would view that different than you guys would. But, you know, you got Butch Jones and how bad that went. And then you got Derek Dooley before that and how bad that went. I'm sorry. I don't know that you're going to attract a top-notch proven head coach unless you're certainly willing to pay him really big bucks, because that is a bad football program right now.
You know, these programs can drop quickly. You know, I got a lot of Nebraska people here at the South Point. My boss, you know, he's from Omaha.
Right.
And we were talking the other day. I mean, you look 20 years ago, Nebraska was probably maybe the best job in the country.
Yeah.
You know, and now, I mean, they're like the middle of the pack. I mean, they're 20-point dogs, at Penn State.
Right.
They were 20-point dogs at home to Ohio State. I mean, Riley's certainly gone after this year. But, I mean, when Osborne was there, they were a national championship contender every single year.
Absolutely.
They got a long way to go. And you look at Tennessee, they could easily fall into that category. They've had some bad, you look back,
yeah.
Lane Kiffin was probably the best hire they had in the last decade.
You're exactly right.
Really, who knows what happened if he had stuck around. But, it's right now, that may not be like the great job that we grew up thinking that it was, and it was. You know, but anymore, these things drop off quickly, and I'll tell you what, if you don't, this is going to be a real big hire for Tennessee, and I don't know what's out there right now, but they better get this one right, or they're looking like a Nebraska situation to me.
I completely agree with you. Hey, Chris, do you think, what about Kevin Sumlin, Texas A&M? Do you think he's toast regardless if he wins out?
You know, I think he is.
Yeah.
You know, I think right now, it seems like this is about as good as he can make that program.
Right.
And I don't think that's good enough for the Texas A&M people.
Right.
And I've heard rumors that they might go after James Franklin. I hope that's not true, being a Penn State fan. But I think A&M is really a sleeping giant. You know, if you're, you know, recruiting for the SEC and you have Texas right there, I think you really could recruit well. And, I think, like I said, A&M could definitely be a sleeping giant. But they got to hire the right guy.
Right. Would you leave Penn State to go to Texas A&M? I wouldn't.
I wouldn't. I mean, they've paid him well, and his assistants get paid well, and you know, I don't know. I know he's really, he wanted that Penn State job really bad, and he told everybody, this is not a stepping stone job for me. This is where I want to be for a long time, and I'll tell you right now, I think he's done a heck of a job. He's really recruited well, and I'll tell you, I hope he sticks around for an awful long time. I'm very happy with Coach Franklin.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, let me ask one thing, and I'll let Ronnie jump in and finish off, and we'll try to get you out of here. Any truth or any rumor out your way that Jimbo Fisher linked to Texas A&M? Ronnie and I were talking. We keep hearing that rumor, and the funny thing is Jimbo is don't seem to be trying to put it out, and I don't know if he's using that to his money advantage or what. We know the buyout is huge for Jimbo Fisher, but what's your thoughts on Jimbo Fisher to Texas A&M?
Well, we keep hearing Jimbo wants to be in the SEC, you know, and, I mean, there's a lot of big jobs obviously going to be available. But, like I said, to me, A&M's the sleeping giant. You know, there's a lot of pressure at Florida. Tennessee, we talked about, may not be as good a job as we kind of grew up thinking it was. But A&M, boy, you go into A&M and you recruit those Texas kids,
yeah.
and you have roots in the Deep South. Well, I'll tell you, that could be one heck of a program, and that's really a passionate fan base, and I think Jimbo Fisher could probably do pretty well there.
Yeah. Hey, good Chris, deal. let me get you on my last question here, and I know we got to get you out of here. I said, hey, but Chris, take out your crystal ball like you always do for us. Give us three or four games that might be worth betting a lunch on, and then lastly, give us your Chris's pick of the week.
Okay, this is entertainment purposes only.
Of course.
Never be.
All right. Right in your neck of the woods. I like UAB plus the 10.5 against Florida this week.
Hey,
I think they kind of hang in there.
What about the Blazers?
The Blazers, I'll tell you what, that's got to be the most shocking story of the season.
Absolutely.
I mean,
Coach of the
year. They come back. I mean, they really, we talk about coming back from the dead. They were dead.
Yeah.
And they've had a pretty good season.
Exactly right.
Then another one down in your neck of the woods. I like Missouri. Boy, Vanderbilt has just completely fallen apart. And I really thought Missouri, I thought Vandy was going to have a pretty good year, and I thought Missouri was going to be just awful.
Yeah.
And it's completely turned around. Vanderbilt is, especially their defense. I mean, I don't know what the hell they're doing. What are they giving up by 30-something a game
the
last couple of weeks?
Hey, that's the number one defense in the nation now. Come on, Chris.
After week one.
yeah, I think it was. So I like Missouri, and I, you know, lay in the 9. I got another one. I usually don't like laying big point spreads, but, you know, I like Oak State. I hear some bad things out of Kansas State, and that's another team that I think is, really maybe kind of falling apart a little bit. You know, and I never liked Coach Gundy in, like, close games.
Yeah.
Seems like he doesn't win a whole lot of close ones. But he can win some blowouts. And I think this one got a chance of being a blowout. And so I kind of like Oak State giving, like, the 19.5 or 20. And my best bet of the week, I like West Virginia -3. You know, I have some good friends that live down that way. And that is just a tough place to play. A tough travel for everybody else in the Big 12. And, you know, I don't know how they get to Morgantown, to be honest with you. I think they got to fly into Pittsburgh and take, like, a puddle jumper from there or take the bus. You know, that's a long trip. And, you know, I think right now West Virginia is still a pretty tough home team. And they're laying 3. So you're just kind of asking them to win the game, and I think they could do that against Texas. That's probably my best bet of the week. I like West Virginia.
Good deal.
I love it.
Good deal. Chris, I need these picks, says the man who wrote the check this week. So. That Alabama game, oh, it really put it on me this week. I knew better, but.
You went with the spread,
yeah,
huh?
I went with Alabama minus, I bought it down to 13,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Still, it wouldn't matter what I bought it down to.
Yeah, I don't think they'd let you buy it down at down to 7.
I would have been broke by the time I got there.
All right.
Hey, let me ask you one quick question. And of course, next Thursday is Thanksgiving Day, so needless to say, we won't be here. We'll be feeding our face with turkey. But I haven't mentioned this to Ronnie yet, but we may be here on Tuesday. But if you can't make it on Tuesday, you're going to have to give us your Alabama-Auburn score before you leave today. So,
okay. I'll tell you what. Let me call you on Tuesday. I don't want to go into any details, but I got some medical procedures that they lined up for me Thanksgiving week of all things,
but
still got to do them. But I'll call you or text you on Tuesday. And I can't wait for that game. I really can't.
Okay.
We should have a fantastic weekend. But I'll call or text you. I just want to think a little bit more about it. Both teams should win pretty easily this week.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a tight, tight game. And I mentioned 27-24 before, Auburn the winner. Boy, I might just stick with that. That might be pretty close.
Hello? Yeah. We got disconnected.
Well, Ronnie told me about those steaks that you cooked, and I don't want to get shut out if I ever show up in Coleman.
Absolutely.
Well, all right, Chris. Man, you have yourself a great weekend. And if we don't talk to you, we'll be looking forward to your text, because I know everybody wants to know what
Chris thinks
about that game. So.
Yeah. Okay. Have a great Thanksgiving, Chris.
You guys too, really. And like I said, it's always such fun talking to you guys every week. So anyway, I'll talk to you soon, fellas.
All right,
bye-bye.
Chris. Have a good one.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Chris is a blast to talk to. It don't matter when the thing about talking to Chris, hey, you're gonna get what he thinks.
That's
he's
right.
not an Auburn, he's not an Alabama fan.
No.
He don't give a rip.
No, he doesn't.
He tells it like he sees it.
He's all about the dollars.
That's right. And boy, the way it sounds, if Auburn were to, by some miracle, win the national championship, they are gonna be out a ton of moolah.
Uh-huh.
I wish I'd had some at 50-1.
Yeah.
I would have been $20-$25 had been worth that.
Yeah.
Which would have paid you $1,000.
Somebody's gonna win it.
Yeah.
But
somebody.
We'll see.
What was it, Auburn? What was the odds the year Auburn made it to the championship and played Florida State? Remember the tale was that somebody took Auburn at the beginning of the year, and it was something like that. I want to say maybe 75 or 100-1, and they had put like $100 on it.
I remember that, but I can't.
No, it was even more than that, because it was going to win them $50,000, whatever it was. Of course, they didn't win the money.
No. But
thanks to Gus taking his foot off the pedal.
Well, that happens sometimes.
And, Ronnie, I can honestly, let me say this, and then we'll go to break. I can honestly see that happening in the Iron Bowl. Auburn plays good. Gus thanks, we've got enough points to win this thing, and the next thing you know, Alabama's up 3 or 6, and the ball game's over. So.
Could be.
It would be awful tempting if you're Auburn and you've got a lead to pack that thing away and try to run the clock out and don't let Alabama's defense get sick.
Certainly, if you've been able to run the football at all, and the way it looks, as of last week, you'll be able to run the football.
I can sit here and talk about it and start getting nervous already.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for a break. Got to pay the bills around here to keep these lights on.
That's right.
We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5. When we come back, we'll talk a couple of minutes, and then we'll have Dan the man.
Dan at 5:15.
5:05.
Dan Bosch.
Stay with us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Broadcasting from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's independent radio, WRJMLP, Coleman. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. An attorney for Judge Roy Moore sends a letter to AL.com accusing them of false and careless reporting concerning allegations including sexual misconduct against Moore. They're threatening to sue. AL.com responding on Twitter saying, "We at AL.com stand by our reporting," adding, "We will not be silenced or slowed." Allegations against Democrat candidate for Senate Doug Jones concerning the timing of the allegations against Moore and that his campaign contacted accusers. Jones responding with the press outside an event event at UAB.
We've not heard from them. We've not, we've not reached out to them. And anything to the contrary is just absolutely absurd.
Jones says Moore is not qualified to be in the U.S. Senate, Moore leading Jones in recent polls. The Montgomery County Board of Education sells the former Harrison Elementary School to Restoration Baptist Church, the sum $325,000. That church has been leasing the building for about 2 years. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Judge Roy Moore's attorney alleging the signature on a yearbook provided by Beverly Nelson and attorney Gloria Allred in their allegations against Roy Moore and that he tried to rape Nelson in the 1970s. Moore attorney Philip Geragy says the signature shows DA after it in the yearbook, which Nelson says is because Moore was district attorney at the time, but Moore was assistant DA then.
When he was on the bench, his assistant, whose initials are capital D period, A period, Delbert Adams, would stamp his signature on documents and then put capital D period, A period. That's exactly how the signature appears on the divorce decree that Judge Moore signed, dismissing the divorce action with Ms. Nelson.
He insists they get a handwriting expert to judge if that's Moore's signature, demanding Allred and Nelson turn over that yearbook. Alabama Law Enforcement Agency issues a missing child alert. They're searching for 11-year-old Dakari McKnight from Tarrant, missing since Monday. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
The 1930s were difficult times for America. The country was in the midst of the Great Depression. Jobs were scarce, but hopes remained high. And it was during that time Mueller started making metal products. Now over 85 years later, the Mueller name is known across the South as the finest in quality steel and workmanship. Mueller understands what it means to weather the storm, and our products do too. A Mueller metal roof is made to last and protect you and your most valued possessions from the harsh weather we're accustomed to in this area. A Mueller metal roof can endure the intense sun, the heavy rain, hail, and the occasional snowstorm that blows through these parts. And it will continue to do so for years to come. Much longer than a conventional roof. So if you want peace of mind for the future, choose a metal roof for your home that's made by Mueller. Visit MuellerInc.com to learn more and find a location near you. You'll see why a Mueller metal roof is the best thing to put over your head.
In money news, Alabama, one of two states still in the running for that $1.6 billion Toyota Mazda manufacturing plant. Bloomberg reports Bama made the cut from as many as 11 states on a short list, North Carolina the other contender. Bombardier says they'll create 2,000 jobs to build new C-Series planes at their planned Mobile plant. The partnership with Airbus expected to bring in $300 million worth of work to the United States. Homewood City Council approves a plan to spend half of a $110 million bond on making improvements to all schools in the district. It's in order to keep classroom sizes low. They'll construct up to a dozen new classrooms system-wide to accommodate the growing population in Homewood. Other half of the bond's going to be used to construct a public safety complex. A public hearing on that plan is set for next month. And a major development in Hoover gets the green light. Planning and Zoning Commission approved Stadium Trace Village, a shopping center along Highway 150. Plan now goes to the full council. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today. Or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio. Music on the left side of the dial for the right side of your brain. We're 95.5 FM. Live 95, Coleman's independent radio.
Don't stop believing.
That's what the Is that what Auburn fans
That's what they're saying.
That's their theme song for the rest of the season.
Lenny, let me run down Auburn stats. I'm sure you got Alabama's.
No, I don't.
If you don't, I happen to have them here.
Oh, okay. I figured you would.
And really, it's not as bad as what you would think.
Yeah.
It's not as bad.
No, I mean, I agree. It seemed like it was.
Right, it did seem, and I thought when I started looking at Alabama's, it was going to be lopsided, but actually Alabama won on paper, too. Auburn, the Battle of Paper, wins the score 40-17, first downs. This is unbelievable, really. Auburn had 25 first downs compared to Georgia's 13 first downs. Rushing, this is even more unbelievable. Auburn, 237, Georgia, 46 yards. Not 146, 46.
I would have never believed that. Not with the
Hey, Nick Chubb, 11 carries for 27 yards. Sonny Michel, Sonny Michel, 9 carries for 22 yards.
Yeah.
Passing, Auburn 251, Georgia 184. Total offense, Auburn 488, Georgia 230. Time of possession, Auburn 33 minutes and 6 seconds, Georgia 26:54. Passing, again, Jake Fromm was 13 of 28 for 184 yards, 1 TD, sacked 4 times for 37 yards. And Jarrett Stidham, 16 of 23, 214 yards, 3 touchdowns, was sacked 2 times for 12 yards. So, anything jump out at you?
Well, I mean, the only thing you could say, and if anybody watched the game, it would be pretty evident that Auburn dominated the game in every possible phase.
That was as good a performance as I've seen under Gus Miles on since he's been at Auburn.
That's right, and I agree with that. The big question mark is, can they duplicate that?
Probably not. Probably not. I mean, not that kind. I think they can get close, but to get that performance again. Moving over to Mississippi, the state of Mississippi.
Yeah.
Alabama wins the game, as we know, 31-24. First downs, Alabama 19, Mississippi State 22. Rushing, Alabama wins the battle in rushing 202, Mississippi State 172.
That's misleading.
Yeah, it is.
You would think that Mississippi State dominated.
Oh, yeah, I thought they did.
And in Mississippi State's defense, that 202, that they had two or three big runs, 40, 50, 60-yard runs, which makes that even look more impressive than really what it, than what it was.
Passing, Alabama 242, Mississippi State 158. Total offense, Alabama had 444 total yards, Mississippi State 330 yards. Now, here is a big one.
That's the telltale sign right there. Why
Mississippi State, 38 minutes and 56 seconds. Alabama, 21 minutes and 4 seconds. That is hard to believe.
Hey, if you have the ball that much.
Almost twice as much.
Yeah, it's going to be close unless you have made a bunch of turnovers
unless somebody they're scoring running punts every time
back.
They get the ball.
Yeah, exactly
first play.
Right. And for an Alabama fan, that is what your red flag is.
Right.
The yardage, it is what it is. But the red flag is Mississippi State had the ball for 38 minutes, almost 39 minutes, and Alabama had the ball for 21 minutes. That is the master scheme, I would say, to beating an Alabama team.
Right.
Is you keep, if you can some way keep them on the field defensively and keep Jalen Hurts and the offense off the field.
It's hard. I'm not saying they can't score because Alabama's famous for it, but they won't score as many points with a defense on the field.
No way. No
way.
They
can't score without the ball.
That's right. And they still scored 31 points, Jason.
Yeah.
And had the ball 21 minutes. And whether you like him, whether you dislike him, whether you're an Alabama fan, you're an Auburn fan or whatever, you have to give Jalen Hurts some props.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
no doubt about it.
He doesn't get, he never seems to get flustered. He never seems to get upset. And since he's become the starter, he has not been on the field when Alabama has lost a game. Now, they've only lost one. and that was last year's national championship. But that was the defense it was on at the end of the game. Right. He had done what he had to do. He got them down there, got them in the end zone to get the lead in the national championship game, and that's exactly what he did against Mississippi State.
And he is the biggest worry I have, Auburn facing Alabama. I think Auburn will be able to get pressure on Hurts, but can they hem him up
I agree with you. If there is a difference in the football game, it's Jalen Hurts, and this has changed 180 from what Alabama and Auburn used to be.
Yep.
It's exact role
totally
reversal.
Awesome.
Yeah. Now you've got a quarterback at Alabama who is just as effective running the football as throwing the football, maybe more so. And he is the X factor. If it's nip and tuck back and forth, and I know we have to do a show next week, we'll talk more about it, but he is the X factor. He's able to do physically more things to help his team win than what Jared Stidham. Right. I'm not saying
Stidham's
not good. The only time
Stidham's going to run is if he has to.
Yeah.
And
if he runs the ball and he gains 4 yards, Hurts is going to run the ball and gain 12 yards.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it is. So, for me, that's the big X factor is Jalen Hurts.
And, boy, Mississippi State done a great job of keeping him contained.
They did. They sacked him five times.
Auburn took some notice to that.
Right.
So I remember last year even, so many times Auburn would get back, maybe get one hand on him or make a shot at his legs and not bring him down, then he'd go for 15-20 yards.
I mean, he's just a big, huge, strong kid.
Who will be playing on Sundays.
He will be playing.
How soon? Don't know.
Don't know. I mean, the success he's had so far, I would say it's sooner than later, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And speaking of that, well, let me ask you this, and then we'll go to a break and come back and get Dan.
Yeah.
But don't you know that Mr. Petway down at Auburn has to be throwing up every day wakes up because he didn't turn pro last year?
Don't you know when?
His value was as high last year probably as it's ever going to be.
Right.
And now he couldn't get drafted by the Huntsville Mudcats.
No. And you feel bad for him because he's certainly capable of playing in the NFL, and he will, but he's probably going to go as a late draft or as a kid, you know, he is undrafted.
Yep.
And makes it much more difficult.
Last year would have probably been a late first round or a second round pick. But
yeah, and you're talking about losing millions of dollars right off the bat before you ever even put a uniform on.
Yep.
So,
well, all right. Dan the Man coming up, 5:03. We'll take a quick break, come back with Dan, and we'll give our picks for this weekend at the end of the show.
Yeah.
So get ready.
That's right.
It's coming, folks. Sports Talk Live 95.5. We'll be right back in about 2 minutes with Dan Vosta. Stay with us.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. So we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95kullman.com today or visit our website, live95kullman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Kullman's independent radio. No longer new, but still all Kullman. We are Kullman's independent radio station. Live 95. WRJMLP, Kullman.
.506 back with you, and just as we promised before the break,
yeah,
Dan the Man is with us.
That's Dan, right.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Appreciate you guys having me on. Happy Thursday to you all.
Hey, Dan, how is the weather in the big town of Chicago?
Yeah, it's been a very cold November so far. The last 2 weeks we've had, working late nights covering the football and basketball games, getting back to your car, it's like 10 degrees out almost, but it's been in the 30s and low 40s. Yeah, it's been the 30s and 40s pretty much has been the high. We haven't gotten 50s or 60s probably since mid-October.
Oh, wow, we're not going to trade these 65-degree days, then. So.
Nope.
Oh, man.
Don't do it.
I hear you.
It's about as nice right now in Alabama as you will find all year. So.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan, let's get into it. The state of Alabama has started countdown to the Iron Bowl 2017, and last weekend's games gave most of us, at least Auburn fans, I guess, and Alabama fans, a new outlook on the game. Give us your thoughts on both games, the Auburn-Georgia game and the Alabama-Mississippi State game.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn was one of the more impressive teams over the weekend with Miami, and one of the bigger wins I've seen all year. I think certainly they dominated Georgia in the trenches. Obviously, life without Cameron Petway has not seemed to be a miserable life, as Kerryon Johnson has been one of the better running backs in the country that I've seen over the last month or so. He's really stepped up, and Jarrett Stidham all of a sudden has really improved his play as well. I think you do have to give credit to the younger receivers for Auburn that have certainly stepped up. Darius Slayton certainly is a guy that's really impressed me over the last couple of weeks. And I thought last time we talked about a month or so, deep dive into Auburn's offense, I thought the receivers had to step up. But in the trenches, Auburn is as healthy and as playing as anybody in the country. Jeff Holland, I mean, he's looking like Richard Dent coming off the edge like the 85 Bears, at least the way they played against Georgia. And I'm still not counting out Georgia, certainly, because they would like to play Alabama. They wouldn't want Auburn again, I don't think, with the way that performance went. But the way the game, the atmosphere, the electricity, that day, I think Auburn could have beaten anybody in the country with the way they played with that atmosphere at Jordan Hare. So I props to Auburn, and now they're clearly the top two-loss team out there, but they still got lots of wood to chop with Alabama in 2 weeks, and then obviously Georgia would follow if they do beat the Tide. So lots of wood to chop, but they got one big tree down in Georgia. Can they do a few more? Because it's looking great for them. Meanwhile, Georgia does get to kind of just relax for the next couple of weeks since they already clinched and punched a ticket to the SEC title. And then quickly for Bama, you know, they've struggled miserably the last couple of weeks in the trenches. Mississippi State's looking like a top-four team in that conference despite tough losses to Georgia and Auburn where they were blown out. But certainly this Alabama team has been struggling all year with injuries, and it's certainly looking like it's catching up to them a little bit. But they don't call Nick Saban the GOAT for nothing. He's got 2 weeks to prepare for this Auburn team that looks like the best team in the country the last couple of weeks. So that's going to be a very, very interesting matchup in a couple weeks that can decide many things. But still, Bama found a way to win. Jalen Hurts, feather in his cap. He won that game. Calvin Ridley had some big plays. And then he obviously Hurts on Smith for that game-winning touchdown. So the defense isn't chopped liver, but it's not nearly as dominating as we've seen in previous championship seasons and even last year. Not nearly as good as we've seen, but here they are. They're still undefeated, and they got everything in front of them, and they're currently number one. So Bama a little bit survive in advance. Meanwhile, Auburn's looking very mighty right now.
Okay, good deal. And I tell you, Dan, we were as surprised as you were. Ronnie, actually, him, his wife came over and watched the game, and wow, we were really surprised at the outcome of that game. So, hey, the line for the Iron Bowl has dropped, as you know, from Alabama a few weeks ago was -10.5, and now it's down to as low as 2, 2.5. Not asking for your prediction right now, but in your mind, is the line about right? Are the bookmakers missing it completely?
No, I think they're running the money. I think Auburn has certainly improved dramatically the last 2-3 weeks, and I think that's why you've seen more respect for them, and the experts think that this game is almost a toss-up. It's a flip a coin, and having the game at Auburn, I think, makes it even more realistic where you could flip a coin. If this game was at Alabama, maybe I would favor them by 10 points, but with this game at Auburn, it's really a flip a coin, and I think the experts in the desert are correct with their assumption that Auburn has improved as pretty much as anybody in the country the last few weeks, and all of a sudden Alabama, among the top 5 or so teams, you can make a case they might be playing the worst of the top 5 or so teams right now because they're just not healthy, but they're still finding ways to win. So I think that's why Alabama's still favored despite being on the road against a high Auburn team, and that collision course is going to be amazing in 2 weeks. So I'm really looking forward to that one, obviously.
Okay.
Hey, Dan, let me throw one at you here from out in left field. Here, down here in the South or down here in Alabama, we've been hearing some talk now that the AD at Arkansas has been fired. They think, you know, Brett Bielema is going to be next. And a lot of chatter and smoke here about Gus possibly leaving Auburn, going to Arkansas. You heard anything about that, or you got an opinion one way or another?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, a little rumors, almost going to call them groomers, like John Gruden going to Tennessee.
Yeah.
But you kind of got to wait and see. There's certain, I think, certainly some that make more sense than others. I'm not sure that one makes a whole lot of sense. I think Arkansas certainly would love to be, maybe not necessarily competing, but be a more competitive team in the SEC West, which is something they haven't been in a while. So many question why Brett Bielema took that job where he was doing so well with Wisconsin. And now Burt, obviously, is on the hot seat with Arkansas. It's just a matter of time before he gets the heave-ho, as only a couple weeks, 2 weeks left there. So more likely his time is done with the new AD out, because it was Jeff Long that was always supportive of him in hiring to begin with, obviously, being the guy to be the decision-maker. And now without him, you'd like to think they're going to start fresh, try to get a new coach and try to get that program back on track, which is something they've been trying to do over the last couple of years.
Okay. All right. Hey, let me ask you about the polls that came out on Tuesday. My question is, do you agree with the polls? And if you don't agree with them, give me your updated version of what you think it should be.
You know, I like the top four, what they have pretty much. I thought Georgia was going to drop a little bit, and they did. And obviously Auburn, I think, was worthy of being there. But in terms of the top four, I mean, you could kind of rank how you'd like to. I mean, I don't have much of a beef at all with the committee. I think they've done a pretty good job so far. They have mentioned, it seems, at least in the rankings, that a good win is more important than a bad loss, which has not always been the case. But I thought Bama's certainly still worthy of being number one, because we're talking about the whole season, not just the past 2 or 3 weeks. If that was the case, Auburn would be probably 2 or 3, which they're not, because they didn't have a great September/October. And I think, you know, personally, I might have Miami 2, Clemson 3, since the Canes haven't lost, and they've been great the last 3 weeks, and they weren't exactly bad in September, October, but they certainly weren't a top-four worthy team. I think that's why the committee does have them 3rd. And I really don't have a problem with Oklahoma 4. While they've certainly made tremendous strides defensively the last few weeks, they're still pretty much a subpar team without Baker Mayfield. And luckily, he's the guy, he's the Heisman frontrunner, and that's why they're number 4, in my opinion. So I think they're worthy of that. And they still have a potential Big 12 showdown with either TCU or Oklahoma State that's going to determine whether they make the CFP or not. But overall, I thought the top 6-7 spots were, for the most part, right on the money.
Okay, well, you kind of answered, you know, with that you answered, kind of answered my next question. And what we had done, we had asked an earlier guest about their opinion to give their top 4 teams, not giving any thought to record or schedule. Who do you think are the 4 best teams at this point in the season?
Yep. Yeah, I would go Bama 1. I'd probably give the nod to the Canes 2, Clemson slightly behind them 3. Luckily, they're going to play in 2 weeks. And then I would lean with Oklahoma 4. with Auburn, Wisconsin, Georgia on their heels, 5, 6, 7. I think those are clearly the top 7 teams right now. I wouldn't count on Ohio State if they were to win out. I still think they would be in the outside looking in if they were to beat Wisconsin in the Big Ten title. But there's a chance Ohio State could crack the top 5 when it's all said and done if Wisconsin or Oklahoma lose. The key, I think, is with Miami and Clemson, 2-3. There's a really strong chance that if Wisconsin or Oklahoma does lose in the next couple weeks, that I think there's a really strong chance that Miami, if they were to lose to Clemson, and they're third right now, I'm not sure they would drop below 4. Now, a lot can be determined with the Iron Bowl and the SEC Championship and Wisconsin and Oklahoma, but if all the favorites do not win out, there's a good chance a one-loss Miami ACC runner-up team could potentially still be a 4 seed and potentially take on, say, an Alabama team if they were to win out. But there's certainly going to be some chaos coming. We just don't know exactly how much. But right now, that would probably be my top 4. I like the top 7 overall from the committee. No beef for me.
Okay. Hey, let me throw another one at you that you're not prepared for here, mm-hmm. Dan. Here's your hypothetical. Let's say
yep.
Auburn beats Alabama in a very close ball game. My question is, will Alabama still have an opportunity to get into the playoff, losing to Auburn last regular season of your game of the year and having one loss?
Yeah, I think they would still have a very good chance to get in, but they would more than likely either be Clemson to lose Miami and knock the 2 ACC teams out, or at least have Wisconsin or Oklahoma lose. So they would be out, in my opinion, if Wisconsin and Oklahoma both went out. I think there's a good chance of them will be left out. And you could argue if Miami, you know, were to lose to Clemson, I would lean Bama, one loss, better team than Miami, one loss team. But if Wisconsin and Oklahoma were to win out, there's a good chance I think they would both be ahead of a one loss Bama team. I think that would come down to the wire, because I think I would probably rank Wisconsin and Oklahoma, sadly, both over Alabama if Bama were to lose to Auburn. But we have to see how those championship games, you know, progress. How much do they win by? How good do they look? Because it's going to be close. You know, Alabama's got to win out if they want to be a lock to get in the CFP. If they were to lose a game, it could come down to the nitty and gritty.
Yeah, and with Wisconsin, you know, the schedule they've played, I mean, they've got Michigan this weekend, and then they've got Minnesota. So, you know, you would think they would probably win out. Now, you know, I don't know. A Michigan may
right.
get them. You know, I don't know, but their schedule yeah. hasn't
I
been
think,
very different.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, excuse me, I think Ohio State would be favored over Wisconsin from all that I'm aware of. They would probably be at least a 3 or 4 point favorite over Wisconsin. So if the Badgers were to, you know, still win the next week over Michigan and win the following game against Minnesota, I think the Badgers would be a slight dog to Ohio State. If they were to lose that game, you can knock the Badgers out. And I don't think the committee would take, a two-loss Big Ten champion Buckeye team over a one-loss Bama team. But certainly you have to worry about Oklahoma and how the Miami-Clemson, you know, figures out. So, you know, it's just best for them to win out, and then they'll be a lock and get to play the Sugar Bowl as opposed to be forced to maybe travel to Pasadena or perhaps get left out entirely if some of the Big 12, Big 10 champ favorites or conference leaders at the moment were to win their championships.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Hey, Dan, outside of the top 4 teams, what 2 or 3 teams do you think has the best shot of slipping in that top 4 in some fashion?
Yeah, I mean, Auburn, obviously, if they control their own destiny, per se, because if they win out the next couple of weeks, if Bama next week, and if they beat Georgia again, all of a sudden they'd have 3 monumental victories in the last month, and that would guarantee them to get in the 4. Maybe they wouldn't be a 1 or 2 seed, but nonetheless, they'd be in the playoffs, so they're a tremendous chance. I give Ohio State a puncher's chance, but I think they'd still be looking on the outside looking in. So really, for me, it's Auburn and Georgia, and I say Auburn, Georgia, because there's a chance that obviously they won't play each other in the SEC title, but obviously if Auburn wins the Iron Bowl, we'll see Auburn-Georgia Part 2, and the winner of that game, in my opinion, would definitely be in the CFP, and there would be a good chance Alabama could be left out, depending on, of course, what we talked about, what the Badgers and Sooners do.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Dan. Hey, we're going to change gears just a little bit. Let's talk about the Heisman race. Give us your two or three guys that you think may be leading that right now.
Yeah, I think Baker Mayfield is going to be, you know, a huge favorite. We're going to interesting to see. I believe it's Bo Jackson and Troy Smith, the quarterback from the Buckeyes, I believe had the two largest differences in voting for Heisman winners. I would almost put that in this category if Baker Mayfield finishes the season really strong and keeps up what he's doing. Obviously, Kansas is not going to be a challenge for him. West Virginia should be a closer game. And then if he plays TCU or Oklahoma State in Jerry's Land at Cowboy Stadium for the Big 12 title, and he plays well and they win as well, he's a big-time favorite and likely going to win it with not even really any competition. But Bryce Love still has an opportunity against Notre Dame and potentially the Pac-12 championship game. They're going to need some help in the Apple Cup. But Bryce Love could be playing the Pac-12 title game. He's the guy I'm really looking to see if he can split any type of gap with Oklahoma. Saquon Barkley's kind of fallen off a cliff almost from what he was in October, but he's still, I think, a safe pick to at least get to NYC. And then after that, it's really up for grabs. I think Khalil Tate, quarterback of Arizona, and maybe he could finish strong and finish in the top three or four. But I don't really give anybody a good chance to, you know, really upset Baker Mayfield as the clear front runner. I think Bryce Love is the best bet for that, but he would have to have monster games. He'd have to have probably run for 200 against Notre Dame in a win and probably 200 against USC in the Pac-12 title game just to have a prayer of upsetting Baker Mayfield. And you have to have Mayfield play bad as well. So I think there's a 90-95% chance, in my opinion, Baker Mayfield is going to be the Heisman winner. And there's even a stronger chance he's going to win the Heisman potentially in a laugher, if you will. So lots of work to be done behind Mayfield because he's been by far the most impressive, baddest, the clear cut, in my opinion, the best player in college football this season up to this point.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, let me throw a couple names at you, and I want your opinion. Let's say that Auburn beats Alabama. They get on, you know, in the SEC championship game. It doesn't matter whether they win or lose. But a name, I mean, I would think should possibly get an invite would be Kerryon Johnson or Kenyon, whatever is it. Kerryon? It's Kerryon. On the flip side of that, if Alabama beats Auburn and gets to the SEC championship, could you throw Jalen Hurts' name in, getting, you know, invited, not winning, but getting invited?
Yeah, certainly I think one of those guys could get invited as the fourth member over, say, Khalil Tate. I'd probably knock out. I think Love and Barkley, obviously Mayfield, are three locks to get in. Yeah, I think I could see that happening. They'll have to have their team win, and they're going to have a big performance. If not one of them, more likely both. Yeah, I could see that happening where Hurts or Johnson potentially do get invited to New York City, especially if one of their respective teams are in the CFP, which we'll know, obviously, after December 2nd, so December 3rd when the official announcement gets made. So, yeah, I think there's a good chance that happened.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Dan.
All right, Dan, pull out your crystal ball. It's score time. We're going to ask your prediction on these games, and we'll start out. Texas, West Virginia. West Virginia, a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I like West Virginia. I like them by two touchdowns. I like them 31-17. I think Will Greer at quarterback with Karan White, David Sills at receiver, been really impressive. It's always helpful when you're in Morgantown. I like the Mountaineers. They've been a really impressive team for me this season. I haven't bought into the burnt orange yet, so I like West Virginia 31-17.
Okay, Mississippi State travels to Arkansas, giving up 11.5 points.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for me to see a Razorback upset here. Mississippi State's playing very well, looking to win 9-plus games. So give me the Bulldogs of Mississippi State over Arkansas. I'll go 30-10.
All right, TCU -6.5 playing Texas Tech.
Yeah, this is going to be, I think, a fairly shootout. We didn't see it last year between these two. TCU's known for their defense. It hasn't been exactly efficient and productive in Big 12 standards offensively, but Kenny Hill at quarterback, I think, will get it done. They need this win if they want to get to the Big 12 title game. I think it will come down to the wire. I'm going to go TCU in a shootout. Close game, give me TCU 38-34.
All right, moving back to the SEC, Kentucky at Georgia. Georgia, a 21.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I think you lay them and laugh if you're in the desert. I think Georgia's going to come out a little ticked off. I like them over the Cats, 37-10.
All right, a team that's drawing a lot of attention here in Alabama, the UAB Blazers, travel to Gainesville, Florida, a 10.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I'm going against the UAB Blazers. I think Florida is going to get the win here. Close game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I like Florida. I'm going to go Florida wins this one 26-10, Gators.
All right. Texas A&M at Ole Miss. Ole Miss, 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, surprise, Ole Miss is a home favorite, but I'm going to go A&M on the road here as a road dog. Lots of points. I'll go A&M wins this one 35-31.
All right. North Carolina State at Wake Forest. Wake Forest, 1.5-point favorite.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I like the defense more of NC State. So, give me NC State. We didn't think there'd be a lot of points being scored in the preseason between these two, but here we are. Likely a shootout. I like the Wolfpack. I'll go NC State wins this one 31-27.
All right. The last two. And I think we know who you'll pick on these, just a matter of the score. Mercer playing at Alabama. I think Alabama's like a 46-point favorite.
Yes. I'm not sure Alabama's going to want to score by, win by half a hundred, but I think they'll get close to that. Give me Alabama. I'll go 45-6. I think they're just more worried about that the game that follows the Mercer Bears. So give me 45-6, Bama.
Okay. Louisiana Monroe at Auburn.
Yeah, I'm going to go Auburn. I think they're going to continue rolling here, score lots of points. Give me Auburn, wins this one 52-13.
All right, that sounds like a winner. And, Dan, we will, if we're air next week, it will be on a Tuesday. Don't know if you can join us or not. If you can't, do you want to go ahead and make your pick for the Iron Bowl?
Yes, I will be available Tuesday. Okay. So it works out for me with the Thanksgiving week. So I look forward to that prediction and talking to you guys next Tuesday.
All right. Mighty fine. All we appreciate you helping us out by joining us.
Thank you, Dan.
Have a great weekend, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. You too. All right. Dan the man.
Chicago,
as always,
the
football, basketball too. Book of knowledge.
That's exactly right. The book of knowledge.
All right, Melissa, if you'll take us to a break when we come back, you know what time it is.
It's time to go fishing. That's exactly. Little Brad Paisley.
Mr. Rhett's already here in the studio.
Thumbs are all beat up.
Oh, yeah.
From lifting big spots.
Stay with us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better. Whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, Cardio Sculpt, or Dance Fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts.
and for seniors. Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors-only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today. Or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Welcome back, Sports Talk Live. It is 5:31, and we are fortunate to have Mr. Rex Chambers in the studio with us, not on the phone. So glad to see Rex. We'll keep him for as long as he can stay, but I'm sure he has somewhere he has to go here in about 15 minutes or so. Would I be correct there, Rex?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Okay, so right off the bat, how you been bowling lately?
Better.
Good. You know, handicaps come down a lot.
Now, I think this was a guy you said that goes bowling every week and hates it.
I hate it with a passion. But, I don't know. It's kind of like my golf game.
Yeah.
Since I retired, I figured something out.
Yeah.
I got better at both of them.
Got to play a little bit more. Got
right.
to play more.
That's right.
Well, that's kind of, that should go kind of in with fishing too, shouldn't it? Now that you retired, you get to fish more, or did your work not have any effect on your fishing?
No, that didn't have any effect on fishing. It kept my golf game handicapped. But no, actually, been on the lake a lot the last, 2-3 weeks, but lakes, plural.
Lakes? You had some trips?
I got to missing my golf game last week or two, so okay. I think I'm going to go there tomorrow.
You're going to go there tomorrow. Yeah. I hear you. It should be a nice day for it. So have you been taking quite a few people out fishing, or have you been practicing for some tournaments?
No, it's been mostly trips, but they're slowed down now. Matter of fact, my last scheduled trip for the year was the day before yesterday, so a little vacation time, holiday time, and get some tournament practice in.
Okay. Where have you been fishing lately?
Smith Lake mainly. Smith Lake, guide trips been on Smith Lake. Had some, gentlemen from Nashville drove down, Thursday. Hey, come down Tuesday. We had a very slow morning. The morning bite is horrible. But if you can hang around to about dark 30, it's awful fun.
It gets good.
Yeah. So we stayed all day just to prove a point.
Yeah.
But, did have a good day. Had folks from Hawaii the last few weeks, from Seattle. Everybody want to come to Smith Lake, catch some spotted bass.
Now, these people you were talking about there, have they ever been here before?
Majority haven't. They just want to come catch spot. Majority hadn't even caught a spotted bass, really and truly. Like super nice guy from Nashville the other day. He's never caught a spotted bass before. Caught smallmouth, caught largemouth, fish all the time. He never caught spots.
Yeah.
So, he made a 2.5-hour drive down here to fish 8 hours and 2.5 hours back. He
drove back.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him. And I'm sure he got to fulfill that.
He did. He did. Took about 6 hours. I caught several, but he was having a tough time. But we did finally get on him, and he caught some really nice ones, and that, and a lot of stripe too. So
yeah,
it's fun. Smith's fun right now. It's just quality's a little down, but you can catch a lot of fish.
What about the water level? Where is it?
Water level's coming down every day. They're dropping it down to build those new ramps to park.
I was going to ask you to give us an update.
Coming down, it's what, to 498 or 499 right now. So it's 10, 11 feet low. We're looking at another 8 or 9 feet in the next 2-3 weeks probably.
Okay. And the purpose of that is
for the new ramps. As far as I understand, they're going to put the ramps in first. So.
And
they got to draw it down really low to get those ramps in.
So how long is and when we're talking about the ramps, you're talking about at the park,
right?
Okay, how long are they going to be out of commission? I mean, will they be shut down?
Who knows?
Who knows?
You know, they're going to shut it down, though, and the park, the ramps at the park will be closed for, you know, I would figure 4 to 8 weeks at least.
Well, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it takes a while.
So what are they, actually, what are they doing to it, Rick?
They're going to put in 6 brand new ramps. They could add to the existing one, but the way I read it, the way I looked at it, it's going to be in a different spot from where it is now. So
okay,
we're going to put in a six lane ramp, and you know it's going to be like a 2-year project altogether. Because if you know anything about the park, you got the upper parking lot, all that's right. Got to be flattened, so they're going to have to move 1,000 truckloads of dirt off that place to flatten all that out. So it's going to be interesting to see how the finished product looks like. But I think everybody's willing to put up with the aggravation to get us a new facility going.
Right. And you talk about the launch being shut down there for an extended period of time. Somebody that maybe Rex is not real familiar with the lake, if they can't launch there, where can they launch?
Good luck. I mean, you know, the dam's always there. But the thing about it is once the water gets down 18, 19 feet low, which, you know, we've only been 20 feet once or twice in the last 10, 15 years. And once it gets down that low, even the ramps at the dam aren't usable. So the last time the dam ramps weren't usable, there was one ramp you could launch at, and that was at Big Bridge. And
but
that ain't happening anymore because that's all private.
That's still gated. Right. And I think they had.
Now, Spiegel's Marina haven't launched at Spiegel's in several years, but Spiegel's used to have a portable ramp that, you know, is a metal ramp. Move it down to where the water level's at. I don't think that'll be happening. But once the ramps are closed at the park, though, I think you will be able to launch at Spiegel's, but you have to pay a launch fee there. So
and Rex, I don't know if you know, I store my boat at Spiegel's, and now they put a gate in, and you have a little card. And, you know, you scan it with your card.
I need your card.
So so if someone's going to think they're going to be able to pay and get in during this time of year, they're not there.
Right, but I think they're doing something for the Saturday tournaments.
Oh, okay.
So somebody's going to be there with either their card or whatever, but they're going to have to pay the launch fee.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. Talking about tournament, you mentioned tournament. Can you give us some update on some upcoming tournaments or some that you have just, you know, recently fished in or what's coming down the pipe?
Well, we had every second Saturday the tournament out of the dam. That's what they call a double tournament, and it's double entry fee, double payback. We fished it last Saturday. I'm trying to think of the gentleman's name, David Walker. Anyway, we got second. We got beat. I mean, we had almost 15 pounds, and had a big 4.3 something spot that I figured was a guarantee for big fish. It was barely made a top 5.
Oh, goodness.
But everybody caught a big one. But anyway, we got second in it. Only thing coming up is the regular tournament that they have every week out of the dam. They have a regular tournament out of the park. Daylight to like 1 o'clock. The dam 6:30 till 3. The one out of the park is a 3-fish limit. The one out of the dam is a 5-fish limit. But the next bigger tournament coming up is a tournament I put on for the last, this will be the 5th year, and that is the Black Friday tournament on Gunnersville. We launch out of waterfront at Safe Light, fishing till 2, $60 entry fee, 100% payback. And the biggest thing is you get your name engraved on the trophy that we've had forever, and it gets sits up there at Waterfront Grocery.
Fantastic. Yeah. Open to anybody?
Open,
I mean, there's
I don't do restrictions on my tournaments. Anybody can come fish, and it's team tournament, 2 to a boat, $60 entry.
Yeah, and how many have you been kind of averaging?
We average 30 to 40 boats.
Okay.
Yeah. We started out with about a dozen, and then we got 15, then we got 25, and I think last year we had 30 or 35.
Yeah, so it's growing a little bit.
Getting bigger every year. I've had a lot of calls and Facebook posts on people coming from Birmingham and Tennessee to fish this year.
Fantastic. So. What a great day to do it, you know?
It is.
Because who wants to go shopping?
Better than going shopping. And like I said, we started it. This will be the 5th year, and we have a blast. And you know, the majority of the people we know, and we have guides show up, pros show up. I know last year our classic champion Jordan Lee was there, so I figure he'll be there again this year. And well, everybody has a good time.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, let's transition now into putting fish in a boat. If somebody's wanting to go now, and you pick any lake you want to mention it, you know, what they might need to try to tie on, or technique, or pattern, or whatever to catch, you know, some fish right now. Because am I correct in the fact, now, I hate to say this, I'm probably speaking for Katoma, the bigger fish that I've caught have seemed to be during the winter months.
But it's not winter. It's fall. Yeah, fall fishing right. is horrible. Truly and truly, this is the time of year where everything's transitioning.
Yeah.
Around Thanksgiving, your thermocline changes on your lakes like Katoma. And
okay.
And,
well, you know, don't have a thermocline. What is that?
Your thermocline is where the water temperature is warmer, say 20 foot deep, as it is on the surface.
Okay.
And that's all got to change because the cold water's and it's going to flip and everything gets changed and it's totally different fishing. Now, I've seen guides who post stuff on Facebook and the internet about the thermocline. You can see the thermocline on Gunnersville. Well, guess what? There's no such thing as a thermocline on a river system because the water's always moving.
Moving.
Could you get up in a pocket and there might be? Yeah, maybe. But your inland lakes, your lakes that don't have a lot of current, that's where your major If Gunnersville was 3 miles wide, yeah, maybe you'd
right.
get a thermocline in some places. But,
right.
you know, Gunnersville River System, there's basically no thermocline there. So, but Smith has a thermocline going right now. I catch fish 30 feet deep right now, and they're awful warm. And catch fish 5 feet deep, and they're awful chilly.
Uh-huh.
So it's fixing to change. It's always around Thanksgiving because we always get those few 30-degree nights, 20-degree nights, and after this weekend, we're going to have some 20-degree nights,
right.
and it's going to change quick.
And when it does change and it starts getting good, what's it going to get good on?
Slow baits, big jigs, big, you know, but of course, finesse fishing on Smith Lake. Big swim baits on Gunnersville. You know, you don't got to really go slow in the winter months on Gunnersville, but right now it's swim baits and that dreaded A-rig that's catching them all on
That you love to fish that?
Oh, used to. I love to fish it till everybody and their brother figured out they could
right.
not know a thing, get out there and get lucky on it.
Exactly. A question. Your boat. I know you got to run. What are you in now?
I'm still boatless.
You're still boatless.
Freedom Marine has had me in a loner for the last 8 weeks or so. But next week, my boat's supposed to be delivered on the 20th.
Yeah.
Week of the 20th. I think that they forgot that is Thanksgiving week, so I'm not really anticipating that happening.
Right.
So maybe after Thanksgiving, I'll be in my new Phoenix Mercury package.
I got you. Got two more things, and then I'll let you get out of here. First of all, it is, as you mentioned, it is starting to weather change. There's going to be some cold nights down in the 20s. You know, as guys are going out and or gals are going out fishing now, and it's starting to cool off and then getting cold. What preventive things do they need to do to keep themselves safe as this water gets cold? And then the next question is, if someone is still wanting to fish and if you're still willing to take somebody fishing, how are they going to get a hold of you?
Now, number one is I saw Sea-Doo's out Tuesday, so the water temp is not cold yet. It's still 60. Of course, that's cold, but
Sea-Doo's were out.
Oh, yes. I see a guy skiing Tuesday afternoon. Of course, now, you know, it got a lunchtime. It was, you know, 61 or 62.
Yeah.
But, saw two skiers on a Tuesday afternoon.
Good
so.
Great.
Yeah, idiots. But anyway.
Wow.
Biggest thing, extra change of clothes in the boat. I don't go anywhere. I don't care if it's summertime. I keep extra change of clothes in the boat, period.
Yeah.
Just stay out of the water. It's once the air it gets way colder than what our water is, that's when it's a booger if you get wet.
Right.
You know, as long as the air is warmer than the water, you're good to go. But,
right.
But yeah, extra change of clothes. And I have a few days. Like I said, I'm being a new boat here in the next 6, 7, 8 days. So that'll be a Phoenix Mercury. Yeah, sure will. Be a 920 Phoenix 2018 model with a 250 Mercury Pro XS on it. So,
step up from what you had previously?
No, that's the same one,
same one.
Just a year newer. And I had a 17. This will be an 18. And rumor has it might be the last year for the two strokes. So I'll enjoy this one while I have it. And I sure can't afford to go buy me two or three brand new ones and set them in the basement. I'm gonna hate it when our two strokes get gone, but the rumor is that's fixing to happen real quick. But Rex Chambers Fishing on Facebook or smithlakebass.com. We'll go fishing.
Fantastic. Hey, Rex, man, thanks for coming by and joining us. I know you've got places you got to go, but always enjoy it. I always have some folks asking, you know, about Rex or what did Rex say about this or that. So, again, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it. And next Tuesday, we're going to be on Tuesday. I don't know if that works for your schedule, but if it does, great. And if it doesn't, just have a fantastic Thanksgiving.
I'll be ready, getting ready for the Iron Bowl come to you.
I got you. All right. Thanks, Rex. Appreciate it. All right. Melissa, could you take us to a quick break, please? Thank you very much. Rex, again, thank you for coming by. Maybe you'll bowl a perfect 300 here.
Doubt it.
Doubt it. Okay. Stay with us. Sports Talk Live. It is 5:46. We'll put Jason back over here, and we will make a few picks for the upcoming week. So stay with us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Cummins. Again.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, Cardio Sculpt, or Dance Fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
I-49 on a Thursday afternoon, and for some lucky people, it is Friday afternoon. So
that's
today
great.
Is Friday for me.
Every Thursday as of late, has that not?
This is two in a row.
I was going to say, I thought last week was also.
Tic-tac-toe.
And next week.
I'm off again on Thursday.
Probably Wednesday too, aren't you?
No, not Wednesday. Thursday and Friday.
Just Thursday, Friday? Okay.
Yep.
Well, that makes up for being off tomorrow, because a lot of people are out, you know, off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Right. And a lot of people are out all week next week.
Yeah, school people are.
And we have a employee who is going to be off probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 15, 20 years, maybe more. We have one retiring. Our longest employee retires next week. He's
really?
Been with us for 38 years.
Wow.
And he will be retiring Tuesday is his last day.
Wow.
So he has enough vacation time to take him into Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And then he's history. So.
It's going to be a life changer.
Yeah,
for
he
him.
Was there when I got out of school and went to work. So. It'll be a little
man.
Change.
Yeah. Wow, fantastic.
All right, it's getting close,
right, it's
Ronnie.
Getting close. You know, it's a public service announcement here before we do our picks.
Yeah, do the public service
announcement. Yeah, that we're about to make our picks for this coming week, and we know that can cause a problem, you know, with people on the highway trying to write down our predictions. So just ease off the side of the road, maybe find a parking lot, or, you know, turn your hazard lights on, those kind of things, so that what traffic wants to, you know, continue to flow through, you know, the city or the county, we'll still be able to do so. So that's my public service.
Yeah. And if you look out the window now, Ronnie,
yeah.
you'll see traffic backing
yeah.
up in all directions, people snapping
oh, yeah.
pictures, wave at them as they go by. So,
it's just, I mean, if you think they turn out for the county fair.
Oh, yeah.
That ain't nothing.
Oh, no.
To when it comes to this time of the week right here and we do our picks.
We're gonna have to start getting police to handle the traffic.
We're gonna have to get the state troop. We may even have to look at getting the National Guard as it gets closer to national championship time. Maybe they get the helicopter out, you know, and
that'd be a good idea. Or just not let everybody know where we're at. We'll broadcast
true.
From a remote location.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, speaking of broadcasting and speaking of picks, last week Jason was 6-3 in his college picks, and I was also the same, 6-3. We missed the Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech game. We both missed that one. The Tennessee Missouri, we missed that one. And then Jason missed the Notre Dame, Miami. I got it right, but I missed one other there. So we both were 6-3 last week on our picks.
That's twice as many as we got wrong.
So that's exactly right. So that's not bad.
And this week we'll go up against Dan.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We'll have Dan in with us.
All right.
All right,
ready?
Start
we go.
Us off. Texas, West Virginia. West Virginia, 3.5-point favorite.
West Virginia.
And remember, Chris made this his pick of the week.
He most certainly did. But I'm going with West Virginia. I think West Virginia, Melissa will be glad to hear that because that's her stomping ground. She's even dressed in the blue and gold, representing West Virginia. Anyway, I'm taking West Virginia as well. I think West Virginia wins the game,
28-14. I'm also going West Virginia, and I like the 28, Ronnie, but
right.
I'm not going to say it because you said it.
Okay.
So I'm going to say 30-20.
All right.
30-20, West Virginia wins.
The Mountaineers over the Longhorns.
Mississippi State, them Bulldogs.
Bulldogs. Well, I have got
going
to pick.
Going into Arkansas.
I have got to pick them. I mean, since they played, you know, Bama to tooth and nail last week. So I say Mississippi State wins convincingly 35-3.
35-3. That is pretty convincing.
That's right.
I'm also going with the Bulldogs, and I'm also going 42-13.
There you go.
Arkansas, a really bad football team.
Yep, a really bad football team.
TCU, -6.5, playing Texas Tech.
Oh, I'm going with TCU. You know, they had a couple of bad losses there, but it doesn't matter. I'm still going with TCU over Texas Tech. That's going to be a high scoring. TCU 42, Texas Tech 21.
All right. I'm going TCU also, and I'm also going high scoring. I'm going to go 43-37.
Okay.
Kentucky at Georgia. Georgia 21.5-point favorite.
I'm going with the Dogs. I think that game is going to be closer than most people think. I think Georgia wins 31-17.
Well, you're real close to what I had in my mind there. I'm also going Georgia, and I'm going 27-13. UAB playing the Florida Gators.
UAB Blazers. Bill
Gators,
Clark.
10.5.
You know,
points.
As we said earlier, Bill Clark should be put into consideration for some type of National Coaches Award. You know, a program that didn't even have a team last year, and now they're bowl eligible and will be going to a bowl. I'm taking UAB.
What are they now? 7-3? 6-4?
They won last week. I think it's 6-4.
If they win last week, they're 7-3.
I think they played Texas San Antonio. I believe they won that game.
I'll look it up after we get back.
Yeah, I believe they're 7-3. I'm going to go UAB.
Pulling the upset.
I'm pulling the upset right here. UAB wins a close one, 17-16. I'm taking UAB.
All right. And that would probably be the biggest win in UAB football history.
No question.
I'm going to go with the Florida Gators. Sorry, UAB. Okay. I think it's going to be close, though. I'm going to say Florida 23, UAB 20. Whoever thought we would be saying Florida and UAB and you picking
and
UAB.
Me picking and you making it competitive.
Yeah.
Tells you where Florida's gone.
That's right. Texas A&M, Ole Miss, 2.5-point favorite.
I'm taking Texas A&M. I think they win the football game 28-24.
And I'm also going A&M, and I'm going to go 30-27.
All right.
North Carolina State at Wake Forest, and I'm going to tell you ahead of time, I'm going to disagree with whichever you pick this time because we have been
the same agreeing
every time.
That's kind of a toss up right there. I'll take NC State. I'll take them 21-14.
21-14.
Yeah.
And I will have to take Wake Forest since you did that, and I'm going to say 23-20.
All right.
Mercer at Alabama.
Well, that goes without saying.
I didn't even know until today that Mercer was in Macon, Georgia.
It's in Georgia, yeah.
I knew it was in Georgia, but I didn't know Macon.
Oh, you didn't make Macon, yeah. Alabama, no question.
56-6. And I'm also going Alabama. I'm going to say 52-3.
Okay.
Auburn and Louisiana Monroe.
Oh, no question. Auburn, probably the hottest team in the country right now, at least after the last week, you know. But anyway, I've got Auburn. They win this convincingly. 45-10.
And I'm also going Auburn 47-13.
All right. Pretty close scores there.
All right, that's it. You can take that to the bank.
That's right, because they're signed, sealed, and delivered. That's coming from two guys that were 6-3 last week on their college
pitch. That's right. So. And remember, Chris's game of the week is take West Virginia, give up the 3.5 points, whichever the case, against the Texas Longhorns. He says take it to the bank. What were his other games?
I don't know.
His other games were Missouri, minus the 9, Oklahoma State, minus 19.5, and, of course, the UAB Blazers, plus 10.5. Everybody have a safe weekend. Not a lot of exciting football, but nonetheless football this weekend before it gets real next week.
That's exactly right. And we'll be here Tuesday instead of Thursday, next Tuesday we'll wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Right, and we will give our Iron Bowl predictions, I imagine we'll differ in opinion.
We will.
Until then, folks, let me leave you with a big War Eagle.
And I'll leave you with a great big old Roll Tide.
Thanks for joining us. We look forward to joining you again Tuesday for Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman, Alabama.